Well, what a wonderful time of testimony this morning about last weekend and everything that God did. And I don't think, actually, you could really share in truth the amazingness of the work of grace that happened last weekend in all of us, myself included. So I am very, very grateful. Let's just thank the Lord for his word. Father, thank you for the word that is eternal. It'll never fade, it won't change. And thank you that your word is life-giving, that it puts your life into us as we hear your word. Thank you that life comes in and that your spirit works with your word to energize, to bring strength and power into our lives, to fulfill everything that you speak. Thank you that this word will prosper in the thing you send it to do. It will accomplish something in my life and in all of our lives as we listen to your amazing word. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to look at one of the parables of Jesus, but we're going to begin by just kind of giving you an overview of what was happening. Jesus had been teaching the parable of the sower and different kinds of parables about the treasure of the kingdom, the pearl of great price, which we all know and love. So he'd been teaching this to the crowds, and then Jesus brings his disciples into a house, and really he's talking now not to the crowds. It's changed. He carries on teaching, but it's changed. He brings his people into a room, a bit like here. We're his church, and if you're visiting and you don't know Jesus, we're glad you're in the room. But Jesus brings his followers right in to this house and starts to speak to them. And he actually finishes with this question, which really struck me about understanding. Jesus said, after he'd spoken to them, have you understood all these things? Now, obviously, Jesus didn't just teach. He wanted to make sure that his followers understood what he was teaching. Because we can hear the word, but sometimes I think the understanding needs to drop not just into our head, but a little bit further into our heart. To understand to Jesus means a little bit more than, are you able to quote scripture? It means, does this actually transform you, what you believe, and how you're going to live your life? So whenever Jesus taught, his goal wasn't just people's heads. It was always the heart. It was always the center of somebody's person, so that they wouldn't just hear, but they would understand and live out that teaching. So he's far more wanting to make apprentices than those who are informed. Amen. Disciples, really. People who are modeling a different way of life. And we're going to look at one of those parables that Jesus taught that actually, can I say quite honestly, is a bit tough. It's a bit hard. And quite honestly, would quite like it if it wasn't in there. Have you some of the teaching of Jesus? Have you ever? I love Jesus. I love him. I love you. I love you. What did you say, Lord? Sometimes he teaches things and you go, okay, you want me to understand that? And let's just read what he was talking about. Let's read verse 47 to 51. Again, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood these things?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." I mean, I can imagine that teaching session, them going, the first time this has ever been said, because the word of God is being preached to us today, but the disciples went, "Yes, Lord." In other words, we get what you're saying. Now, as I was saying, this is really hard for us because we're talking about the end of the age, the end of time, and Jesus is describing what actually is going to happen at the end of time. And while we're on earth, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I personally love peace, the message on his peace. I love his peace. I love healing. I love the teaching of how the kingdom works, the seed and the sower. I love how he deals with relationships and the forgiveness. I think he's the most radical teacher this world has ever heard, that we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. I think it's so radical to think about denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him. I think he's an incredible, as most of the world would think, he's an incredible guy, this Jesus. And so Jesus, actually, a lot of us today would say, and even in Christianity today, would say, why are you making us feel uncomfortable about this end of the age and being some people being thrown into hell? Do you like that teaching? Does anybody in the room like that? I don't like that teaching. So Jesus, why? What's with it? You know, let's just do the good things. Let's just do the good things. But don't tell us about the bad things. Because in our culture today, we don't like bad news. I don't know if you know this. You know, if somebody tells me something true about me that isn't right, I don't actually like hearing it. Don't know if you... I only want to hear compliments. Please. But if you start to kind of tell me the truth about where I'm really at and what's going on in my life, I don't actually like it. And that's the culture we live in, isn't it? People don't actually like to hear what I would say, truth that confronts what we really believe and want to believe about God and his plan for humanity. There's a guy who wrote famous, you know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis. He wrote this, and there's a quote, and he says, "There's no..." This is about hell. "There's no doctrine which I would more willingly remove from Christianity than this." Now, isn't that interesting? I actually don't like this teaching. I want to remove it from Christianity. And let me put it like this. Some people have. Some people don't preach what Jesus preached. But Jesus actually is the only one who's qualified to tell us about what's going to happen at the end of time. And there will be an end of time, even if it's physically for you and your lifespan. But there will be an end of what Jesus calls this age. And we will enter into another age called eternity. And this age is actually called an age of grace. Eternity is about judgment. And then, after being judged, all men will be judged, but after being judged, we will then live in the eternity we chose when we lived here. Okay. I had a friend once who, I don't preach hell, I preach good news to people. I believe it's the kindness of God that leads people to repent. And I believe that Jesus wasn't a machine gun hell preacher. which is why he pulled his disciples in and he says, come on, come on, come on, come on. And he's going this morning, if you're a follower of me, you just need to understand. I want you to understand. I want you to go and preach the good news, but I want you to know about the end. But I realized with this friend, you know, she I was going for it. And then at the end, I knew it was the last time I was going to see her. My career, I'd finished my career because God was calling me to give up everything to go into full-time ministry and serve the Lord. And I knew I wasn't going to see this girl again. She was a colleague, really. And we sat up late one night after dinner. And I was preaching her the good news about Jesus. And while I was preaching the good news, she was like, well, no. And I knew because it was my last chance, I would say to her, please remember this good news. If you never hear it from anybody else, please never, ever, ever, ever forget I told you about Jesus. Even to the last breath, do not forget. Because it'll be too late when you've breathed your last breath. Well, what do you mean? I said, well, the Bible's mostly the teaching of Jesus, not the Old Testament prophets. Most of the teaching of hell in the Bible comes from Jesus. Isn't that interesting? It's very interesting that he's the one who brought most of the teaching on hell. And I said, well, Jesus is very clear that you will go to hell. Well, I don't believe a loving God would send someone like me to hell. How can you say God is love? I said, well, would you say a crime deserves punishment? Yes, that's why we have a law. We are glad that there is a legal system, that when someone breaks the law, particularly with murder, with all kinds of things, we're glad that there is a law, that there is a hold on and a discipline and an outworking of judgment, really, on those who break the law. We've all committed a crime against God and rebelled and sinned. And someone has to pay. It's either Jesus or you. But somebody has to pay for the crime. Because God is just. And justice doesn't brush sin under the carpet. But love came to remove sin so that we wouldn't go to hell if we accept Jesus Christ as the way, the only way to be forgiven our sin. And, you know, I think sometimes people think Christianity is a bit of a life choice. Well, you're a Christian, but I'm not. It's okay. I'm glad you love, you know, Jesus, and I'm really glad he improves the quality of your life and makes, you know, hopefully people reflect who God is. But, you know, it's a life choice. But maybe it's an eternal choice. It's what Jesus was saying. Not just maybe, it is. It is an eternal choice. It does. It matters much, much more than having Jesus bolted on to your living experience. It actually settles eternity, the way we approach who Jesus is. And that's why I think C.S. Lewis said, I don't like it, I wish we could remove this doctrine from Christianity. But Jesus says, I want you to understand this doctrine. I want you to understand what's going to happen. And if I really think about my family, my friends, the people who are walking around Taunton today who haven't yet received Jesus, and if I begin to see the end of time as Jesus describes the end, Well, it makes me really uncomfortable. Because I don't want anybody to go to hell. I mean, you'd be crazy to want someone to go to hell. Because it is eternal punishment, forever and ever, not just for 8 years. It's forever. It never stops. Imagine a place where, as Jesus describes, is so awful, but it never stops being awful. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. Now, I asked the Lord this question, why, Lord, did you want your disciples to know this? Why did you teach them this? Surely you just wanted to say, go and preach good news. Why did they need this understanding? Well, I believe the Lord wants to mobilize his church to preach the gospel. And that if we don't see what's hanging in the balance for people's lives, we won't be bothered. Because we want the miracles, we want all the promises, we want all the gifts of the Spirit, we wanna feel God, we wanna all the nice which God wants to always pour into our lives. So don't worry about that. He always wants to do all of that. But we forget them. The ones who don't yet believe. And I believe that Jesus was speaking because he wanted a mobilized people who were really not being told to be passionate about the lost, but understanding that changed them from the inside. Not force them to do it, but the understanding went deep into their hearts and they went, I can't not preach the gospel. Woe to me if I don't tell the world. And I believe that's the goal of Jesus this morning, to actually aim for all of our hearts, myself included, to throw off that cloak of complacency and have understanding that one day all will be judged. And those of us in Christ won't be judged for sin because Jesus paid it for us. We will be rewarded for what we've done in this life. Our works will be tested. And scripture says that if it's wood, hay, stubble, it'll be burned up by fire. So in other words, fire will test. God will test the work of every single one of us. The works that he calls us to do, that we have done faithfully and been obedient to the teaching of Jesus, that will remain and we will be rewarded. But you won't go to hell if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior and continue to hold to that truth. It's not a prayer, it's a holding. That's what salvation is. It's not just a prayer, it's a holding on to the truth of what Jesus has done for us. What is God's will? And I think it's really important we read it in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The scripture says what God's will is. And he's talking about why is it such a long time before Jesus returns? Wouldn't it be great to think, gosh, Jesus come back and then that'll be it. It'll all be okay. But Jesus says, I'm waiting for as many to be saved as possible, right? He's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, patient towards us, not willing that any, say any should perish. Any, say any. So what is God's will? That no one goes to hell. Did you know hell was made for the devil, not for people? Satan led a rebellion against God. Now he's led mankind into rebellion against God. Jesus has come to reverse that curse, that all who believe and follow him will be blessed eternally. But Satan, the place for him will be forever hell. But the trouble is that those who don't accept Jesus in this life will be assigned to the very same place that Satan goes. And that is an awful thought that Jesus describes as a place where there will be wailing and torment and outer darkness with Satan for company. It is an emergency to preach the gospel. We have an emergency. And it's called, God is not willing that any what? Perish. We love the saved bit, but we never really think about the perishing because we're saved. Just like the disciples in that room, they were saved. Why did Jesus want the saved to know? Because he wants them to go for the emergency of the hour in which you live and I live. He gives time and space to come to repentance, which means we all have a lifespan. Everybody ever born has a time in which they live. And this is what I call the space for grace. Say space for grace. So people are alive, people driving down that road right now, their main God's will in this life is to actually, he's highly motivated to send his people into their lives to say we're in an age of grace. It's a time of grace where you don't have to work or change anything. You just have to believe and receive Jesus. And he will work and change everything so that you live a different life. But God is wanting all people to be saved. That would mean every work colleague, every family member, every granddad, every grandma, every grandchild. It would mean everybody living around you, anybody you haven't even met. He wants them all saved. All the Muslims, all the Hindus, all the Buddhists. Jesus died for all, and he wants all to be saved. God is not English. He is all. He has died for all the world. So that's God's will, to give time and space to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. What is human response? We are to respond to what Jesus has done, our responsibility. And I love the voice translation of John 3:16. For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction. Do we have a believer in here? I'm a believer. Do you know what I won't face? You know what I won't face? It's enough for me to celebrate this morning that I'm saved. Everlasting destruction. But we'll have everlasting life. It's even better than not having everlasting. I'm going to be in heaven. Everlasting life. Now and forever. Here's the point. I love that. Here's the point. God didn't send his son into the world to judge it. Instead, he's here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. Say headed towards certain destruction. No one who believes in him has to fear condemnation. On that day when we all stand, guess what? I can be bold because of Jesus. Yes. Yes. Yet condemnation is already the reality of everyone who refuses to believe because they reject the name of the only Son of God. During this life, we all have an opportunity that whoever believes will not perish, will not face everlasting destruction, but have eternal life. So, destiny can be settled to the last breath. You can change because you're headed towards certain destruction before Jesus. But to the last breath, we could have a Christian in there. We could have somebody who is going to say, come on. Come on, not good luck. Let me help you feel better on the way. At that point, there's only one thing that counts, and that's the message about Jesus Christ. And I always love that the man who was crucified next to Christ, Jesus said to him, when he believed, Lord, I want to be with you. Remember me. And the Lord said, today, you're about to die, but today you've received grace and you're going to be with me forever. But you know, I'm thankful that we've got a life to live. We're not just going to pop our clogs here. There's a reason we're here. And you know what it is? Have you worked it out? Them. The ultimate reason is others. That's the ultimate reason you're here, is others. Others. It's amazing. Let's go back to the fish story, shall we? The parable Jesus taught. And he speaks about this dragnet cast into the sea. And a dragnet is something that encompasses a large area. And it's speaking about the whole world. Believers and unbelievers alike. Everybody will come in and be brought in. And the fishermen understood this. You know, this is to a few fishermen who were part of Jesus' followers. And they understood the dragnet because they'd worked the fish. They worked with fish. And Jesus actually said when he called Peter, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Interesting, isn't it? So you're speaking about fish a lot to Peter and now to the disciples. So this dragnet's pulling everybody. And Jesus said it's good and bad. In the end times judgment, you've got a mixture, good and bad. There are only two categories. The master teaches with simplicity. He doesn't say, tasty, high-end, low-end fish, different colored fish. He just says two categories. Good fish, bad fish. Separate. Bad fish, throw into the fire. Not to destroy and annihilate, but where there will be weeping, wailing. So eternal torment. Not an end, but an ongoing eternity. So good fish, bad fish. But the truth is, we all start life as a bad fish. I once was a bad fish. I would have been thrown into that furnace. The angels would have dangled me by the ankles and I'd have said, please don't. Over that darkness, that bottomless pit that you fall into, that it never stops, that fall never stops. The pain never stops. The torment never stops. But by the grace of God, someone told me about Jesus. Someone lived a life that demonstrated in front of my eyes who God really is. It wasn't miracles that made me a Christian. It was the message of the cross. Miracles don't save people. They might attract people. They might demonstrate, and that's what we want. We want miracles plus the message. But we don't want one without the other. All the gifts of the Spirit won't save you. But the message of the cross will save this generation. Which is why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could we be embarrassed in the face of knowledge of the separation that will take place at the end of this age? How could I stand before God and say, I was embarrassed to tell my family? I wasn't bothered. I was embarrassed to say to people, how we do it's important. But I must not be embarrassed that there is only one message that can save humanity. And that is the message of God sending his son to die on the cross. That whoever believes in him and truly accepts him as their savior and Lord will not perish, but have eternal life. I was a bad fish. Scripture says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There isn't one person that is ever born except Jesus when he was, well, he's eternal, but he was born man, begotten, not created. But there isn't one person since Adam that wasn't born in sin. Which is why all need to repent and believe in what Jesus has done and be born again. Say, born again. I love the word of God. A bad fish can become a good fish. Because a new birth is a new nature. We were born with a sin nature, but in Christ Jesus, the old is gone and the new has come. And we are born of God. We have God's nature in us. And so when the selection process comes, who are they really looking for, those angels? Jesus. Can I see Jesus in you? Can I see Jesus? Have you received Jesus? Good fish. Good fish. Good fish. I'm not going to say bad fish to anybody. Good fish. Good fish. Well, don't let the angel say bad fish to anybody in this room. Just in case there is a bad fish. The message of Jesus is the only way to be selected for God. Accepted in Christ. Oh yes, we love the message of the gospel. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is how a bad fish can be made a good fish. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. The gospel, say the gospel. Not just my testimony. That's part of it. Not just what God has done for me. But what is the gospel that saves people? Paul said, I came to preach the gospel, which you also received. So in other words, to be a good fish, a bad fish has to receive that Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the dead. That whoever believes in their heart that happened and confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord will be saved. Yeah? And then it says, if you hold fast to that word. Can I say if? Who said if? Not me. If you hold fast to that word. Don't let go of Jesus just because you prayed. But you hold fast to Jesus. You hold fast to his way. You hold fast to the truth. You hold fast to his mercy that is poured out for you on the cross. Unless you believed in vain. May there not be one of us who believe but let go of Jesus. I'm not going to ever let go of Jesus, are you? To my dying breath, I will say, Jesus, you're my Lord. I'm coming. And I can have a smile, I can have peace, because I know that Jesus alone makes me a good fish. For I delivered to you first of all, this is which I also received. This is the gospel in a nutshell, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that on the third day he rose again according to scriptures. That's the saving message. But it needs unpacked in every individual situation to bring understanding, but it's the saving message. That is what will save bad fish. Bad fish from going to hell, change them to good fish, and good fish that go to heaven. You're all a bunch of fish. And God knows our own hearts, doesn't he? He sees right into who we really are. I had somebody say, well, you know, and sometimes, you know, we get, because we know we don't walk perfectly, don't we? We know we mess up even once we're born again. Does anybody ever messed up since you've been going to anywhere? Did anybody even mess up this morning? Don't put your hand up. Mess up. I mean sin, basically, by that. I mean do something wrong. Say something wrong. Think something wrong. Attitude something wrong. Something you know that doesn't please God. And, you know, this is what's so amazing about grace. Is that whatever, you know... We'll be saved if we hang on to Jesus and just continue to believe that. Not that we live the perfect life, but that Jesus did for us. And if we confess our sin, God's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when I do sin, I say sorry very quickly. Not because if I've done something wrong, I'm going to hell. Because I believe that grace knows the heart of the person that is a believing heart. We totally trust in Jesus. But I also endeavor to live how it pleases, serve God, pleasing God. Jesus came to make followers, not theologians. People who actually live out doing what Jesus said. Okay? But we only go there by grace. Through faith in Jesus. But Jesus did speak about hypocrites, you know, and I think this is something that kind of upsets a lot of us, really, that people say they're Christians, but they don't show any fruit or any evidence of it. Has anybody ever been upset by somebody who's named themselves a Christian and been a total rotter? It's not that I can't judge them. I can't judge them. But Jesus did say something about hypocrites, and Revelation speaks about hypocrites not going to heaven. Hypocrite is somebody who says one thing and does another. Right. Did you get that? Say you're a Christian, but there's absolutely no evidence. Jesus actually said, even so, every good tree bears good fruit. So think of good fish. What makes you good? Receiving Jesus. Every good tree bears good fruit. Every bad bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Did you read that? Jesus said a good tree can't bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. So in other words, once your nature's changed, everything you produce out of your life should change. Not perfectly, but it's Jesus' life. There's evidence of it, guys. Not perfect, but there's going to be a show. You know what fruit is? I'll just show you my faith. Because you'll see. I won't just tell you. You'll see. Do you get it? So a good tree can't bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is what? Cut down and thrown into that fire again. Therefore, by their fruit, you know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. wish that wasn't in there too. Do you? Do you look at... I'm just being honest with you. Let's have a discipleship chat. Are you really happy about that? Because for me, that holds me to account. Now, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone. New creations go to heaven. But fake, say it, but show no evidence of it. And I'm not going to judge you or myself. Everything will be judged by God. But I'm only encouraging you and encouraging myself not to call him Lord and not do what he says. That's it. Isn't that the simplicity of the words of Jesus? Okay, well, let's make sure that I'm a good tree. Or I'm a good fish. Say I'm a good fish. And I'm going to produce good fruit. And I'm not going to call him Lord and not do what he asked me to do. Because a prayer confessing him Lord means a whole lot more than a prayer. Jesus is perfect in his teaching. Am I going on too long? So, bad fish. Bad fish don't have a new nature. They keep the nature of sin, and they bear the fruit of their nature, which is to sin. You know, in modern day Christianity, there's a whole lot of people that want to change people from the outside. And they tell people, you shouldn't do that, and you shouldn't do that. People who aren't even saved. And they dictate standards to people that God just calls bad fish. We would say really, 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 really bad fish. Or not so bad fish. Or quite likable bad fish. But God just says bad fish. What has to happen to a bad fish? They need to be born again. Not change from the outset with your placard and your Facebook comments. That ain't going to change nobody. Jesus isn't making Facebook comments. He's saying, preach the good news. Because that's the only thing that will change a bad fish and bring them into a new nature. Do you understand? Who are you to stand in judgment? We used to be bad fish. I used to swim with them, play with them, love them. We were all bad together. Now I'm with the ones swimming upstream, going with Jesus, going against the flow and saying, come on, turn, repent and believe, follow Jesus. This is the way, this is the blessed life. And it will be blessed forever. God is not willing that any stay bad fish, but all come to repentance. Isn't it interesting, that word? That is a wonderful word. Let me tell you, it's a good word. Because it's fake when it's only prayer. But repentance means I was swimming with a bad fish. I was a bad fish. I heard the message of Jesus. I turned to him, believed in him, and began to follow Jesus. He gave me a new heart. He put his spirit within me so that I can live a new life. Not perfect, but that's the flow of my life. Okay. Bad fish. Scripture says we'll stand before this throne called the Great White Throne of Judgment. That's the place where unbelievers go. Do you know, I believe we can change many people's destiny in this room. I'm not telling you this morning to do anything but to give you understanding, and I trust the Spirit and the Word are motivating you from the inside. I'm not putting you under law, but I'm just preaching the truth that hopefully will cause something on the inside of you to say, I'm going to tell them the good news. I'm not going to machine them down with hell preaching. You're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. They need to hear good news. The kindness of God needs to lead them to repentance. There might be occasionally time to say, there might be an opportunity to say something about hell, which could work. But ultimately, Jesus wants us to preach good news, to demonstrate who he is, his goodness, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and preach the gospel. Amen. That is our mandate from Jesus. I cannot imagine suffering for more than 8 years. Physical, mental, spiritual, everything, just torment, dark, no light, no love, no encouragement, nothing but evil, nothing but hopelessness and despair, and such pain that your teeth are like, I cannot imagine 800 years like that. My heart would fail at the thought of 800 years in that condition. But what about eternity? We're not playing church, are we, with Jesus? We're not playing, because the souls of men and women, actually the baton is in our hands. Mine too. And we've had a great conference. We've got a great move of God happening amongst us. There's an outpouring of the Spirit happening. All the things that God has promised. We're not changing tack. We're just being given the reason for all the things that God has done. God is giving us understanding of all the things he's doing this for. It's for them. It's for them to taste and see the Lord is good. That their crime can be forgiven if they receive Jesus, who paid the price for all. Praise God. And I love the way Jesus loved me and you. If you think about your story, were you hammered into the kingdom? Did somebody hammer you that you got saved? See, he leaves us with free choice. Everybody has a free choice. That's the love of God, that he actually says, I'm going to get you. You get to choose. And I love the way that Jesus preached. If you take Zacchaeus as an example, he's up a tree, isn't he, to find out more about Jesus, this short man. And Jesus says, I'm going to come to your house for tea. And Jesus sat with sinners. So in other words, he was in a relational context when he was sharing the good news. And what happened to Zacchaeus, who was a wealthy man, tax man, took people's money, and was quite happy to, that he should, at that meal, repent and believe and show the fruit of it by restoring fourfold what he'd taken and given to the poor. So in other words, that's repentance and faith. He said, Lord. So he called him Lord. He recognized Jesus. You might say, what happened? Do you think Zacchaeus felt loved? Accepted? Do you think it was a fantastic meal for Zacchaeus? Yes. Yes. Or do you think that when Jesus sat down, he got his hammer out and he started to hit? Bang! I told you were wrong. I'm right. Bang! What? You're useless, no good, nothing sinner. Repent and believe. Do you think that's how it worked? Because that puts people off. Because people need value. They need to know they're loved, like Zacchaeus, one-on-one. You can come to my house. I'll prepare a meal for you, or you, I'll come to yours, and we can sit down. But I'm not missing out the message. I'm not just having a meal. There's a message. Yes, there's an ulterior motive, and that's to stop you going to hell. Is that okay? In our minds, we don't tell him that. But I'm sitting there going, backdrop your life. I can see the bad fish going into hell. Right, what am I going to do about that? Here's a bit more curry. I'm going to start talking. The message had changed me. I was a bad fish. Let me describe my fish life. My old fish life. It was bad. That's all I'm telling you. But God saved me. I'm a child of grace. It's because God is so good to me that I am where I am. And he loves you so much, he did it for you so that you would know him. You come into relationship through forgiveness of sins, through believing that Jesus died for your sins. Because God hates sin, and God and sin can't live together, which is why bad fish don't go to heaven. So we need Jesus to remove sin. But you tell them in such a way that they want him. Wouldn't you? Amen. See, you're gifted. You have the Holy Spirit. You know the message. You know the end. Because I just told you. Through the words of Jesus. And you're accountable for what you've heard. So am I. And this isn't one of those messages that you go, yeah, I really felt built up and encouraged today. And I, you know, there was that many healings and miracles in that meeting, especially after the conference. You just expected more. And the Lord's saying, let's just remember something. The reason Jesus died wasn't just for you. It was for everyone. And you've got the message that gives them the opportunity to believe. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. Those who believe will be saved, and those who don't will be condemned. So preached to the don't and the do's. Did you hear that? That's astounding insight. Preach not just to those you feel could be saved. All. No, you didn't get it really, did you? Because we like to be a bit selective. But Jesus says, it's for all. And then they get to decide. But you can't believe unless you hear the message of Jesus. And he gives us the mandate and the power and the gifts of the Spirit and the working of healings and miracles and nice food and showing them the goodness of God and relationships and work colleagues. He gives us all these things, our families, so that they hear the message. All of it's about the message. Because this is the power of God is in the gospel for salvation for all who believe. Shall we stand?
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.